Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. Right now I'm going to be dialing my co-host, which is Jason Delzell. Ugh, I love my lines there. Jason Delzell. And he's going to be my co-host. That is, if he answers the phone. And hopefully he will. Okay, Jason, answer the phone.
Hello?
Hello, Jason, this is Mac.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good, good. Good to hear from you.
So, yeah, it's nice to hear you, too. And while we're chatting for just a minute, I'm going to go ahead and dial Sam's number. So why don't you just real quickly tell people who you are and, you know, what your business is, which I already know what it is, your film company.
Sure, sure. I'm an independent filmmaker from Maryland, currently living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm currently working on my own little comic book magazine, bunch of different stuff. Definitely can get into.
Okay. You should be able to hear the dialing. And hopefully he'll answer right away. Sorry to cut you short.
No, you're fine.
Hello.
Hello, Sam?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Mac, and I'm also here with Jason Delzell. If you
want
to say
Jason?
Hello to each other.
Hey.
Well, just for the people that are listening in, my co-host is Jason Delzell, which I've already said, and he gave a short introduction. So now I'm going to let Samuel Schmucker, give us a short-ish little bio about himself. You know what I mean, Sam, like tell us where you grew up, how you decided that you wanted to be, or when you decided to be a filmmaker, what you do for a living, and, you know, different things like that. So,
my name is Samuel Schmucker. I am from Indianapolis, Indiana. Born and raised in Indiana, but not Indianapolis. I've lived here for about going on 32 years, close to, here in Indianapolis. And I decided to put my hands at filmmaking when I couldn't find any other roles to partake and act in. So I set out to be a filmmaker, and that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, what about what you do for a living? You do own your own security company, don't you?
Yes, I do have a security company for event security, which is more or less for celebrities and musicians, doing the meet and greets, crowd control, loading in and out, helping out at concerts, driving them around. And then I also am a full-time driver for a medical supply company here in town.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm a nurse, so that interests me. Well, I've done lots of things besides nursing, but that's interesting to me since I'm a nurse. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about yourself before we get started with the show?
Just that I'm 46, married, got 4 kids, and I'm an absolute movie nut. So, I mean, outside of that, I'm not sure.
I think that's all 3 of us, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, Sam, you were in at least one episode that I know of that TV series Hashtag. Tell us something about that if you want to.
I don't know much about Hashtag except for that specific episode, which was called The Blue Hatters. And I guess the whole series follows this one particular girl, but I'm not sure. But it was pretty interesting. I was one of the Blue Hatters sitting in the audience watching a more or less simulated political campaign speech. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know. Nobody really knew what was going on except what we were told to do. Then they did their thing, and we did what we were told. And I've watched it, but it was interesting. I've also done two other things, too, that I've been in.
Well, go ahead. Tell us about those.
One's out. It's on YouTube. It's by the Paul Allen Network on YouTube. It's called Just One Good Day. It's a 20-some minute short about mental awareness and what could possibly happen to somebody if it's not addressed. And I played a bad guy in there. The other film's not released yet. It can be found on Instagram. It's called Detour. And I played what I do in real life. I played a bouncer at a nightclub. And it's a drug. It's about drug addiction and how to overcome it.
Oh, very worthy project. Actually, that was one of the things I was going to bring up, but you already brought it up, so that helps with that. Anything else that you want to say about Detour?
Detour can be found on Instagram, but you have to type in Detour Film, all capitalized, and then it'll pop up. And it was supposed to be released last year, but it got put off on hold, so I'm still waiting to find out. But it was filmed here in Indiana. Some of it was filmed here in Indiana. Some of it was filmed in another state. I believe it was Michigan, but I can't be positive of that. And it's got a lot of great people that I've worked with before on another film and people that I've become friends with on here. It's going to be a good film when it comes out.
Oh, it sounds like it. Well, now I guess we might as well go ahead and get to the main focus for the evening, which is the Jason in Indianapolis film. And what I'm going to do now, simply because Jason has something to do with the movie, and I'm not going to presume, I'm going to let him say what he's got to do with the film, but I'm going to let him go ahead and take over since he's my co-host, I'm going to let him take over with any questions that he might have about that film. So go ahead, Jason.
Questions towards him?
Yeah, for the Jason in Indianapolis, and if you want to add anything yourself.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I think it's a cool little project, man, he got going on. Like me and him been talking back and forth and stuff like that. Probably for a couple of years now, and I told him, like, whatever he needs, you know, I'm willing to help out wherever I can, you know, with any department. You know, he could text me or call me or ask me any questions or something. And, you know, like, that's the thing with filmmaking and art. You're learning every day. You know, some of the top people out there, you know, may think they know everything. We learn every day. So I get an enjoyment out of, like, helping the people out, you know. I think it's going to be pretty cool. You know, I watched a lot of films, like fan films and stuff, and a lot of people are doing it, and there's a lot of good reviews on them, and I think it's going to be pretty awesome. I want to help a lot with the some of the gore effects. I think I really wanted to, you know, do that. That's before I went to film school, like work with, like, special effects and get my name out there that way before I became a filmmaker. So, I might see if he wants, you know, add to his little film and just supply some of the stuff, you know, supplies or whatever he needs, you know.
Well, that's nice. You're always good with that kind of stuff. Well, Sam, I'll jump in here and ask you something about it. So I know that you have lots of roles in it, which is actually very common. When it comes to independent filmmaking, you act in it, you're the director, the writer, producer, you do the script and the continuity, and if I've missed anything, you can tell me what it was. But tell us everything that you can about this film, like how you got the idea for it, why you decided to do it, and who helped you along the way, you know, like Jason or whoever else helped you. Whatever you want to tell us, go ahead.
Well, about 2 years ago, that's when I connected with Jason. He was doing a film, and I was inquiring about it. And, you know, like a lot of us that, you know, I'm a first-time filmmaker. He's not. And he knows where I'm going to come from with this statement. When you get into a film or you see it on a group, and a lot of them say casting calls, non-union, union, paid, non-paid, volunteers, all kinds of different positions that you can get into a lot of films across the country. And some are budgeted, some are not. And his was a non-paid film, and he was looking for some actors. I inquired. When I found out where he was at, which is a long ways for me, I was like, well, dang, I can't do this. I just can't travel right now. And so we just continued to talk back and forth, and I ended up getting a role somewhere, and that's the one I told you about, Just One Good Day. And then I was like, you know, I can't find anything. I can't afford to travel, to work all day to get a check at the end of the day and get back home. I just can't afford to pay out of my pocket like that right now. So I was like, I'm going to figure out something to do. And I played with so many ideas, doing a YouTube series, doing a short, doing something, just something that I can be involved in and put it out there and get the story out of my head. Too many concepts came along and went, and I was like, I want to do something where it's not going to be a big hassle and have to have a lot of different stuff. What can I do? And I played with the horror villains, and then all of a sudden I was like, you know, I don't have a voice for that one. I'm not big like this one. This one talks. That one, I was like, well, wait a minute. Jason don't talk and Michael Myers don't talk. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, which one of these two could I use and try to do something with? And I picked Jason because after the first film or the second film, when Jason made his appearance and he pretty much eliminated those that hurt him and his mom, and kept going and going and going, he had no agenda. He's just a killing machine. He's an undead body that doesn't have any feelings and just kills for the pure passion of it, I guess. So I picked him because I was like, I can just do a slasher flick and have fun with it and be done. And then a friend of mine told me, he's been in The Walking Dead and a few other films and TV shows. He said, no, you need to have a story, man. You're making a fan film. It's your first one. You don't want to look like an idiot and people make fun of your film, although you're going to get that. But you want to make something, especially with a Friday the 13th title, you want to give it something that's going to make people want to see it and pass it on. So I played with a storyline, and I got one, and it's original. It can tie into the canon and the history of the films and the characters. One specific character out of all of them. I'm not going to give no spoilers here. But it'll be well known within a quarter of the way or more into the movie. You will understand what that is and who it is, and it keeps you on your. It's going to keep people wanting to watch it to find out what Jason has that we don't know yet, and you only see it at the end of the film. So you get tidbits all the way from the beginning to the end of what he's got, but you don't know, you know, why, what is this? And then all of a sudden it's revealed to you at the end of the film. And that's the story that I was able to come up with that would keep people continuously watching through the whole film instead of being like, oh man, this ain't no good. Or, you know, I want something that's going to catch them and hold them. And that was what I came up with. And I filmed it here because I live here. I don't have to travel nowhere. And why not? Indianapolis doesn't get movies made here. We get mentioned in films. We get mentioned in TV shows. You might now and then get something filmed here for a five-second view of it, and then it's done. I wanted a film that was made here, shows my city, shows some of our landmarks, includes some locals here that I know that are in the film, and some have acting skills, some have never acted, and I got musicians that I know that gave me their music to use in the film. I have two musicians, one's from a band and one's a solo singer, and they both gave me songs to use. Well, one of them's writing. Actually, they both wrote songs for the film. So, you know, I'm trying to make a first time film with originality. You know, I don't want to use stock footage or stock music, and you know, I wanted to, you know, I'm a first time filmmaker. This is a fan film. It's for fans by the fans. So why not have fans in it instead of the whole thing be done with actors that know what they're doing? I wanted to give it that classic horror feel. It nobody was an actor, and this is their first movie they're making, and I want them to be able to connect their name with their first time with something iconic. And you know, then I reached out to other people and got advice for resources, how to do this and that. Jason was one with Panic Terror Films. Christopher Pelton from Psychotoxin Press. Hippie Mandy from Horror Chill Cinema Television. I mean, I've got Bloody Creations, who's helping me with a mask. And Mandy got a mask, donated a mask to me. I've got locations here in town that's letting me use their business to do scenes at and make an appearance. Cool. I'm going to an appearance tomorrow at a cafe that's having a grand opening. It's a horror cafe, and they invited me to bring Jason out there and myself and help promote the film. And you know, so I'm trying to involve my city and the people that live here so that, you know, you're a fan of films, you watch it, and when you see your towns mentioned, you listen, you pay attention. So now that I'm giving them something that they can watch all the way through, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's where my cousin lives, or, hey, I go over there all the time. You know, I want to give everybody that watches it that feeling of hometown sense.
Since you already mentioned it, because I was going to have you talk about it anyway, go ahead and elaborate on the Back House Cafe, about its grand opening, and when it's going to be. This is your chance to give them a little free advertising.
The Black House Cafe is here in Indianapolis. It's at 1122 Shelby Street. It's a cafe that is open, but they haven't done an official opening, and that's going to be tomorrow from 12 until 3. And they had liked something I had posted about Jason on the movie, and I, you know, if you're here in town and you're a business, I always respond thank you and whatever when anybody likes something like that. It's a good way to make a connection. And I did. And he was like, we talked back and forth, and he was like, yeah, if you want to bring some stuff over, I can put something in the window on the bulletin board, on the counter, and that way people can see it and check it out. And I was like, well, since you're a horror theme, do you want me to bring the costume and get in Jason mode and let people take pictures and stuff? And he's like, sure, that would help add some credibility to the theme. And I'm like, all right. So tomorrow at 12 o'clock, the Black House Cafe, that's where it's going to be the first time he's going to make an appearance in public.
Oh, wow, cool. So anybody that's interested, head on out there to the Black House Cafe. And I'll let Sam give the address one more time so that you can know where you're going.
It's 1122 Shelby Street in Indianapolis in the Fountain Square neighborhood.
That all sounds very cool. If I didn't live in Ohio, I'd be wanting to go there. So, Jason, is there anything you want to interject here, like a question you want to ask or a comment you want to make?
I did check it out earlier. It's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool little place. I dig the horror iconic thing. I think every state should have one or something like that. My friend or mutual person I know has a museum up in Michigan, horror museum. And, you know what I mean? I thought about doing something like that here in Pittsburgh. I know they already have all the stuff, you know what I mean? It's hard to out-pop things that are already done, but I just thought that was cool. And another good thing it's opening up on, you said the grand opening, and that's kind of like a memorial thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool that you're going there first, you know what I mean? And to do it, to go all out the way you're doing it, that's the way to do it. You know what I mean? You probably have a bunch more people come out. You know what I'm saying?
I've got some of the actors coming out that's going to be in the film that live here. They're going to come out too.
Yeah, definitely. You can even throw a little thing up on there and, like, anyone else you need for the film. You know I got you covered on that, too, as well. But you can throw something out there and then they can, you know, might want to come that day, people that live out there. You know what I mean? I do it all the time, the day of and day the night before, just to see, you know, just the percentage of people, you know, because, like, I've had, like, 2,000 emails in the last month and a half. Just for like two films I'm going to do. And the percentage of them showing up probably be half of them. Maybe half of half. You know what I'm saying? Which is pretty cool. Yeah. But I just think it's pretty remarkable to get all these people like emailing me. And like, you know, a lot of them are non-paid. You know what I mean? And like, I got ones that are going to be paid. You know? I just haven't put them out there yet.
So, Sam, I wanted to ask you, too, as you get along further in the filmmaking, what do you think that your goal might be, like to be an actor or to be a director, or do you just want to continue to do everything because you love doing everything? Some people do like that.
Well, I'm not a writer, but I can spin some stories. Like, give me a subject, and I can probably spin you a good story, as long as it ain't romance. I'm pretty much horror and like thriller stuff, not mysteries. So, and you know, I wanted to act. I mean, I wasn't even looking to act when I started the first time. I asked him if he needed security for wrestling because he's a wrestler, and he told me, "No, come on out here." And I might need your security for traffic control. We're going to film a scene. And I was like, okay. And then he changed it and asked me if I wanted to be in it. And I was like, sure. He said, you got the look that I can use. And then I did that, and I liked it. So I reached out for more. And I like acting. I like the atmosphere of it. And to be over here now and – taking the story idea and giving it to a script writer that is working on it, you know, and then getting the back results, seeing what he's turned your story into is phenomenal to see, because I'm not putting the details in it. I can just spin you a story, and then he's taking it and giving it the little details and the little minute things that you're going to need to make the story a visionary. And I like being over here and being able to take my story and then make sure it gets filmed the correct way. The way I seen it in my head, that's what I want to see on the film. And so if I have a story and I can get a script for it, yeah, I'll probably do both again. If I can only act or direct, I mean, I'd probably say direct unless, or act unless it's my story, because I don't know what you have in your head. I don't know how you want that picture to be. So that's something that I would have to play with down the road somewhere. But my goal is just to have fun with it and take my stories and try to make them a reality if I have one.
Oh, yeah, that's actually what most filmmakers want. They just want to do something worthwhile, get their name out there, get people to see their stuff. And nobody starts out famous. I mean, even if they are like children of famous people, they're not famous. They've got to make their own mark in their own stuff. So you're doing it the right way. And I'm sure Jason could tell you about that because he's making his own way. Right, Jason?
Yeah, true that. You know, you have to adapt yourself in many ways. Like I said, I got many of the people out there that I can vouch for and people can vouch for me. It's just the nature of that industry. You know, you just have to, like myself, I like learning everything. I'm still learning a lot because there's too much, all the departments in it, man, is just, they'll blow your mind. And if you, like, I've taken on so much of all the departments myself. I had to limit myself, like, this year I'm changing things up. I'm not doing as much because it limits me from, like, my artistic skills, pushing my stuff out, you know what I mean, in a way that I could never do before. So that being said, what I was going to tell you, I'd like to – I would like to help out with, like, maybe bringing some people out when you do film it. You know what I mean? I know we talked about it before, so I got a few people that are probably going to be interested in just coming to support, too. You know what I mean? Which is pretty cool.
Fun. Yeah, definitely. I'd try to plan
there you
on.
Go, Sam.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a camera being sent to me here soon. I've got another gentleman that's going to be in the film that has a camera. He's done some film work, you know, and what a lot of people don't know on with filming is I've learned a lot this last year by just reading and researching, trying to figure out how to do things. Like I knew how to use PowerPoint and make a video for a presentation. But outside of that, I didn't know nothing about how to put a video together like a movie. And I played with stuff and I figured it out and I found what I'm used to and what I like. And I've got one of those coming too from Jason, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play with it, but it also gets very frustrating when you learn how to edit, video edit. And because you got so many different, like you said, you got so many different departments in a film that, you know, for me, I've got to cover every one of them. I've got to be the person at the set that's going to be in the scene and got to make sure the camera's lined up right and then tell everybody where to be and what to do and then do it and then go back and look at it, make sure we ain't got to do it again. That gets frustrating and complicated, but I'm doing it. I'm learning how to do it. It's baby steps, and, you know, in this world, you only learn from your mistakes. Every actor don't get a script. I mean, you get a script, and you may have a dialogue that's like 4 or 5 pages long, you know, and you're going to have to memorize each of these lines to be on film. You know, you're going to mess up. You're going to forget a line. You're going to forget the opening, the closing, and you're going to have to do another take. So it's the same with the director, the producer, the editor. You learn from your mistakes and you push forward and keep going. And, you know, I'm not a very trustworthy type person. You know, I'm the one that wants to do it and make sure it's done right. That's the old saying, if you want it done the right way, do it yourself. So I've lived by that as best as I can, but I also know, like Jason told me when I reached out to him with this idea was, and then I, you know, do you know anybody that can do this or anybody I can talk to about to learn how to do this? And he was like, nah, I got you. And then I get a message, and then now I have someone helping me with this aspect and help me with this aspect. And, you know, I put into a couple little film groups for help. And, you know, some of the comments from people that are, I'm sorry to have to say it this way, but I'm a realist and I'm blunt. But there are some real ignorant people who think they know because they were in a movie, in a scene, as an extra, they helped out as a PA, that they know everything, and they don't. Like Jason just said a minute ago, he's made plenty of films and been on plenty of films. People don't always get paid to be in a film. Some people pay to get into a film. Some people volunteer to be in it. And if you go through all these casting sites and through all these groups of people putting out a casting, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find it's going to say non-union, non-paid, with the potential to be paid after release of film. I mean, and then I get backlash because I did the same thing. Someone's like, hey, don't do that. You know, if you got a skill, you need to get paid for it. Hey, don't volunteer to use your creative experiences on mask making, on gear, on makeup. Get paid for that. And, you know, not only myself, but other people was like, hey, man, this is a fan film. There's no budget behind this. This is how this world works. And he's like, I've been in 3 and got paid for all 3. And it just goes on. And the criticism's going to be there, and I don't do good with criticism, so I don't even look at the comments no more. Really, I don't. If I see somebody's name I know, I don't read them because I'll just end up either blocking him altogether or I'll comment back and try to be as respectful and correct him or say something that needs to be said, but for the most part, I try to ignore it because it just – it brings me down, and then I'm just I get so mad that I'm done with the film. I don't want to do it no more. But then you know,
you're becoming a filmmaker.
True, and you got to overlook
that's
that.
Becoming a filmmaker, dude. What you're experiencing is all the feelings and frustrations of a filmmaker. It's just part of the game, man. You know what I mean? All that out there, yeah, dude. There's a lot of backlash on everything. Even the top directors in the world, man. One of my favorites, David Lynch, man. You know, he's an inspiring artist. Teaches so many different people and stuff like that. There's so many people. You know, I never really did a campaign on raising money or have people pay, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. You know what I mean? There's so many different opportunities. It helps fund the project, and you know, people are gung-ho on it. And there's people who make films that are masterpieces with no money. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's all on how you want to push it. I don't let none of that stuff get into my head like that. In the past, yeah, you know, everyone, you can't really lie and say it doesn't, because there's so many independent artists out there that, you know, somebody will say something negative or post something. I will put this out there, that there is so many platforms and so many good ones. There is a couple evil ones out there. I won't name drop. You know who they are, but that need some work in on. But other than that, man, you just got to keep pushing forward and doing your thing, and people will jump on. And if not, it wasn't meant to be. You know what I mean? That's how I carry myself. Well, I try to. You know what I mean? I still got ups and downs all the time, man. You know, even like it's – Pittsburgh's one of the hardest cities in filmmaking, I think. Truthfully, I've been in most of the states, helped out with some projects, uncredited for some, credited for some others. But this, truthfully, is one of the hardest cities. Anywhere it's wintertime, I think is too, especially around this time.
Very true. Indiana is like next to nothing. I mean, we've got some films made in Indiana and a few little spots in Indianapolis, but yeah, everything around here is usually independent fan films or creative stories that people are able to film and bring them to life. But we have nothing that's on that's iconic, you know, that has a tie to anything iconic here. And, you know, we had Blue Chips with Shaquille O'Neal in the basketball movie that was filmed in just north of here, about an hour away. And Indianapolis was in the scene like once or twice, but it wasn't about here. It was about the basketball game and the team. So, you know, I agree with you, you know, Indiana, Ohio, well, you know, just certain states just don't have no play. And it's kind of sad when there's so much to do in Pittsburgh and here. There's so much that, that somebody could use and make a film from it. And nobody does it.
Yeah, that's sad. Well, I'm here in Ohio. We've got several places where they do films and stuff. And, of course, one of the most famous ones that even big-name movies have used is Cleveland. But
yep.
even then, it's not really enough because Cleveland, with the bad rep and all, even I sometimes talk negatively about it. But it has a lot to offer, especially with the filmmaking industry. I mean, there's lots of good, you know, location shots you can get. And actually, all over Ohio, there's some great location shots. Like, there's this one, and maybe someday one of you can even put it in one of your movies. There's this place in a place called Mentor on the Lake, and it's in Lake County, Ohio. And there's a street that goes, it doesn't actually go into the lake, but it goes right to the lake. And when you get to the end of the road, there's like a park there. And there's not an actual house, but it's a house where somebody lives, but it's like the groundskeeper, whatever. And then there's a place where you can have your whatever it is you want to have, parties or what have you. And it's like right over this ledge that goes right into the lake. And because of the way the water has been rising and everything, there's not as much of a beach per se as there used to be, kind of small, but still it's like right there at the lake. So as you're driving towards it though, you know, all you see is the lake. You don't see that there's a drop there. So I'm always thinking every time that I've gone down there, I haven't been through there in years, but I always thought every time that I drove down that street, I thought this would be really cool to have somebody just drive down this street, and then I know they would have to do it with special effects, but have just somebody just drive right into the lake. Right from that street. All right. Because it would be, and you know, possible because it's right there. Like you would go over this, not an actual cliff, but you would go over a little bit of a hill there, and you would just go, and then you'd go right into, well, depending on how fast you're going. But if you're going relatively fast, you're going to miss that little beach altogether, and you're going to go right into the lake. And I've always thought, I want to put that in a movie. But my point is all different places all over this country have some great things for movies, and they should use them more, like in your Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and all these different places. And actually, the bigger ones are doing themselves a disservice when they don't make use of them. My opinion.
You know, like we have the Indianapolis 500 here, and it's over 100 years old, and I am surprised from all the movie history I know. I am surprised they haven't made a movie, you know, for the 500. They did a Formula One movie with Sylvester Stallone called Driven, and I'm like, okay, well, that's Formula One. You did a NASCAR with Tom Cruise and Days of Thunder. Where's the Indianapolis 500 movie? That's the most famous racetrack in the world. And yet it's not ever mentioned. I mean, it's mentioned, but it's never been in a movie. And I'm like, that's crazy. You know, I mean, there's just, and then the locations, the famous people who have lived here, who have graduated from here, who are born here, you know, do a story with about that. I mean, just like John Dillinger's just born a little bit south of here. And when they made Public Enemies, you know, they started off in the prison escape and moved forward. But they never get, there's no movie about how he grew up here in Mooresville, living here in Indianapolis, and then he became a gangster. You know, so many things that they can make a movie about, and they don't. It's like he's got Pittsburgh. There's so many things in Pittsburgh that they can make a movie about, just some of the history that's there.
There's a lot that's going on right now that people don't know about. That's what I'm talking about. The thing is, like, there's, you know, you got your main ones up here. We all know which ones they are if you look them up. But there's so much that is going on that you have to really, like, spend so much time just researching and looking, you know what I mean, into stuff and, like, so many different gigs. And, like, I can't even explain how many I apply for and I get results back that are good and many that are not, you know what I mean? Not every role is for every person. I've known to, you know what I mean, realize. And not every person is made for our films, you know what I mean? There's people I work with I love, and there's people I work with I give them the most props, but I'll never work with them again, you know what I mean? It's just how the nature of the industry is. You know, we wish them the best in every aspect of it. It just, sometimes too many people or too many heads on the set causes, like, disagreements, frustration, you know what I mean? I've learned from being on, most of my experience is being on film set, lips shut, and just watching people, watching their movements, watching their studies, you know what I mean? Watching what they do when they're running the cameras, directing. That's what I pick up on, being in the sideline, just watching, just being a part of it, you know what I mean? That's when you really, like, we go back to the editing. I just started editing, like, a few years ago, really getting into it this year. It helps bring out the more cinematographer and an artist and become a better filmmaker when you start doing that, like your shots and everything, your footage. Like, you can film your film this year, and then next year you can film some other shots and then throw it back into that film and make it even longer or better. You know what I mean? Just because you do your film this year and it's done, you could a couple shots. As long as the continuity and everything's good and sound, you're perfect. You know what I mean? You're good to go.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about that one day, you know, because my wife is, like, ready to kill Jason and kill Friday the 13th. She's, like, over it. She's, because that's the person that listens to me and is not going to lie to me. If I do something, I'm like, hey, baby, check this out. And I let her see what I shot, what I wrote, what I came up with, my ideas. She's going to tell me exactly what the truth. She's going to hit me in the head and say no. Or she's going to say, okay, that sounds good. And that's my go-to for everything, because if I know I got her approval, I don't need nobody else's, because she's not going to lie to me. She's going to be the most honest person that I know with anything I do. And then I can take it from her to the next person, and then I can wait for criticism or advice or right on, you're ready. And then, you know, that's – so I know exactly where you're coming from. And like you said, with editing, I just learned it in the last 4 months, and it's not easy, but it makes you want to learn and keep learning, because there's so many things you can play with in editing and you know, like you were saying, come back to the film after it's done. I had thought about that, you know, continuing the story in a different way, or, you know, doing something with something different. Like I've got another costume that's not completed, and it's a scarecrow. So I thought about coming up with a story, a horror movie about that, or a short. I'm going to do a web series about, I'm going to start off, of course, with Indianapolis and the history that's here. And then I'm going to transfer myself into other aspects of a web series for history.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you need to make that movie about the Indy 500. Get it done.
I thought of one.
Or like, get her done.
The Indy 500.
That'd be an expensive project to try to take on, because Roger Penske. Yeah, I looked up something one day, you know, because you can rent the track out for the day when there's no races here. You can rent it out and drive your normal car on it, or if you do have a race car and you do have a racing license, they'll let you bring it out there and race on the track just for shits and giggles. I mean, just seriously, I mean, that's what it is. And so, you know, I looked it all up, and when it was all said and done, I was like, it was like $50,000 to get the track for one day from the time they open until it starts to get dark. And then it's going to bump you up to $25,000 on top of that if you want to do anything at night. So I was like, whew. So I originally thought about, I looked into that. I did before I even wanted to make a movie. I was like, I wonder what it would cost to make a movie about the 500. Why haven't they done it? And I went looking.
Yeah, but you know, you actually could without having all that. Because look how many movies where and I'm talking about like even big budget movies, where they want to do something at a certain place, but they either can't get the allowances,
permit,
people won't let them do it, or whatever, or they want an amount of money that they don't want to pay, and they just get something that looks similar, and then they change it to make it look similar. But like with the Indy 500, you could always just like for the actual like a race part, you could just have a film of that. Film a race and then have it be like more of a drama and show people like in their garages with their cars and getting them ready to go onto the track and stuff like that. So you could still make it just wouldn't be like real exciting.
Yeah, but with some things like in the garages here, because I've been in the garages many times, when the cars are here and for the 500, the Brickyard, you can't have video cameras at all past the security point for anybody. You have to have press pass. Yep. You have to have a press pass, or you have to have a permit in order to have a camera back there. And then you got the race cars on top of that. To run a race car around the track here at Indianapolis 500 or any 2 mile track, for one lap is about $2,000 in race fuel. And you can't have just one car in a film. You got to have at least 10 to make it look good. So you're looking at a lot. Like I said, it's expensive. It's well over a couple $100,000 just to get the cars, the drivers, a track anywhere, really. I mean, the cheapest track around here like that is down south. And, I mean, it's still $5,000 for the day. So, I mean, I want to do it, and I looked into it, and it's just that's way down the road if somebody doesn't do it before then.
You just got to it's all about preparation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like I was going to say, like when I do some of the places, I'll call them and maybe offer some kind of service and maybe see if they'll let me be a part of it. The thing is with a lot of, like she said, locations. That's what I learned from my teacher. Geography is the most thought out thing in filmmaking, because locations are the key. Like, different locations open up your mind to be able to be a better writer, because then you go to that location, you're like, wow, this is where I want this to be, the shots and all that. It brings it back to your writing. You know what I mean? Like, sponsors, that's where sponsors come in, and they help you pay for stuff like that. It can be done. It's just some places, you don't know if they want their name on it, if they have, like, if they're in cahoots with some other people or conflict. So you don't know. It's all about just, like, what I do, pick up the phone, call, or get some people interested. It takes a lot of prepping for something like that, but it can be done. I have faith in you, man, definitely. It can be done.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
with
I'm sorry, if I could just interject for 1 minute. I'm sorry. Usually I don't like to do this, but I just wanted to interject before we started getting on top on something else. But I just wanted you to know, Sam, I wasn't, like, trying to argue with you or anything, because you know more about that than I do, but I do know a lot of that stuff, and I know how much money it takes, and I know about the cameras and all that. I was just more or less saying what Jason was saying, that no, you're not going to be able to do it right away, but sometime or another, you're going to figure it out, how you can do it and have it be not costing that much money. That's all I was trying to say. So
I'll let you go ahead
and say what you were going to say. So go ahead, Sam.
I was going to play on what he said, but I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I'm so sorry.
It wasn't important. No, it wasn't important.
He was saying that how much that he believes in you. And that you'll be able to do it.
I want to do it. I mean, yeah, like what he said about the, you know, the sponsors and making the connections and stuff like that. You know, there's copyright. People can sue you if they see your business and your movie and you don't have permission. Somebody could sue you if they see their house with their address on it and things like that. So it's, you know, it's hard to do good shots and stuff and then use a name. And like you said, you have to just reach out to people and get permission. And that was that's what I was going to play on is just a few days ago. You know, I have, like you said, I have a lot of different people in my film, and I want to make it look good, and I want the kill scenes to look good, and the footage to look good. But then on the sidebar of that, I don't have locations for kill scenes. I have locations, but I don't have anything that people are going to know. You know, I have a parking lot that could be anywhere. I have a street with a bunch of houses on it that could be anywhere unless you know that street, but nothing for people to identify that don't know it. And that's why I was including all these neighborhoods around my town that's got their old school historic looking neighborhood signs, the landmarks that nobody can copyright. You know, we got the Circle downtown, and we got Lucas Oil Stadium for the Colts. We got Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We got the Indianapolis 500. And this guy reached out to me. He has a dance studio. And he reached out to me, and he said, hey, I'm interested in letting you use my business to get some exposure for us if you want to do something here. And I started talking to him, and today I was just happened to be in the area for work, and I got to go look at it, and I was like, this is doable. So, you know, I'm going to have another legit business that's not a landmark that's going to be in my film that now adds to it, and it just makes it makes me feel better as a person from here making this film that people want to be a part of it and reach out like that, because that gives them a sensibility. And then they can pass it around to their friends, be, hey, check it out, man. My business is in this movie. And, you know, then somebody else will pass it on because they know that guy. And then it keeps going down the line till you got a whole bunch of people that have seen it. And that was the goal, is I just wanted to make a movie and be in it because I want to act and I want to be a part of something. So why not just do it myself and learn as I go?
Well, I need to jump in here because we're down to like just a little over 4 minutes that we have left. So, Sam, I just want you to take a couple of minutes or however long it takes you to say how people can get a hold of you. I mean, don't give out your phone number or anything, obviously, but like Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, and like say if they want to help you out at all in any way with the film, where they can contact you for that as well. So go ahead.
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Samuel Schmucker. Last name is spelled S-C-H-M-U-C-K-E-R. You can also Google Samuel Schmucker Indianapolis. Always put Indianapolis if you Google my name, because otherwise you'll get a poet from the 1800s. if you Google the movie, it's Friday the 13th, Jason in Indianapolis. There's IMDb there, Indiegogo's there, I believe the Linktree's there. But if you want to just go the easy route, find me on Facebook and send me a direct message and ask me whatever you want to ask, and I will answer the best I can.
Okay. Jason, is there anything that you want to say right now?
Sure. You can find me on IMDb. Let's see. Alignable. It's a really good network. Unreal. It's a streaming platform, independent platform that Panic Terror Films is on. Other than that, I'll let them seek me out. You'll see me. Let's just say you'll see me soon. Love you all.
Well, I mean, we could stop anytime. We don't have to go the whole time. But since we still have 2 minutes, I just wanted to say really quickly that because you know, Jason, but Sam doesn't know, I'm a semi-professional reviewer. So whenever this Detour is available to watch, I would like to watch it and then maybe not write a review, or I could write a review, but I also have this segment of my show called Max Musings Presents, and it's basically just where I talk about something that somebody has going on, like, say, your movie, and then it's like free advertisement is really all that it is. It's like a commercial. So I would be willing to do that as well. So, and that, of course, is for Jason, too. So, but he already knew about it. So just to keep that in mind.
I will. Thank
that
you.
I do reviews, and most people are happy with them. I only had one person, and this goes back to something you were talking about earlier, that some people – you can't give them constructive criticism. They don't like it. Or even if you just say, well, I kind of didn't like it, but I can see where somebody would. And that's really all I said to this one ex-friend now. And that's what I told him, and he didn't like that, and he unfriended me and then badmouthed me. And I didn't even say anything bad about his film. So there you go. Anyway, now we're down to like 10 seconds. So I'll just let you guys say goodbye to anybody that's listening, and whoever wants to go first. Jason, you go first.
All I can say is keep at it, man. You're doing what you need to do. Get written documentation of everyone that's on it and every business. You're good to go.
Right on. Thank you.
Sam.
Just
okay,
say,
so we're down to – oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say thanks, Jason, for being there, and thanks, Matt, for having me on.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And Jason, it was nice having you again, too. And now we're down to the last couple seconds. So I'm going to say thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good night. Have a good night, Jason and Sam.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.